Good to be here again. Kind of like back home, I guess, for me, where I grew up. And I'm particularly glad to be here now that I went to my 50th high school reunion from Raytown South last night. There's 90 people that aren't around anymore in my class. Rather sobering number. But there was a lot of old people there, so it was... That's me now. And the last time I was here, according to my notes, I had a lesson. And it started like this, purpose. It was kind of a two-part thing. That was part one. So this is going to be part two. And I apologize if you're younger than probably retirement age in this group, because this is kind of a little geared more towards that than the last one, where we talked about the stages of life. But I'm putting up the first few slides from that previous one to kind of get you on board. So fortunately, you'll have to hear that part again. I'm sure it's been a year. If you're like me anymore, I don't remember. We'll try this. We're going to talk about purpose or roles or different things like that we can call it. Purpose is the reason for something to exist. Okay, that's a definition for it. Everything has a purpose. Things in nature have a purpose. And we have a purpose according to God. That purpose gives us motivation, self-worth, and focus. Those things that gives to us, whether our purpose is, whether we're talking about God or a worldly thing, if we have a purpose on a team, we want to fulfill those items in our lives. So, that gives us motivation. Hey, I want to get this done. That's my purpose. And then when you do it, it gives you some self-worth and also allows you to focus on something. So the way I started this last time is I've been just retired a year ago, and when I gave this talk the first time, I just entered that phase of my life, and I was getting kind of philosophical. I live on my house is built on an old farmer's hedgerow, and old farmer's hedgerow, they used to plant these hedgerows, and they marked the boundaries of the fields, and they would be a place for the shelter of the cattle and things like that. So I looked at that hedgerow, and that hedgerow now doesn't do any of those things. I ended up writing, I wrote a little poem here I'm going to read to you. This is the only poem I've ever written. Engineers don't generally write poetry. So this is one of the hedge trees talking to us here now. A hedge tree is not what most trees hope to be, but we're strong and enduring. 'Twas the purpose for me. The farmer put me here with my row of friends to mark his boundaries and stand up to the winds. My job was important, and I did it well. But now... But now is this lake, and no boundaries do dwell. The sidewalk goes by me, no more boundaries to mark. I no longer had a purpose. Things looked bleak and dark. But then I saw people stopping to rest in the shades of my branches, and runners catching their breath. And a swing on my row where the children would play. In the summer, they would be here most of the day. This lake looks so pretty, and now I feel like a part. This life is full of changes. When will you start? That's my granddaughter, Evelyn, on the swing there. It doesn't look like what it used to. Those trees don't serve the same purpose they used to, but they're still good, strong trees. So this is to emphasize how our life steps through different changes in our lives. And that's where we're going to go through today. And I'm going to quickly summarize some of the things we talked about last time, if my voice holds down. And then we'll talk about one particular segment of that. We know that God is unchanging. So God's not changing in this talk at all. I don't want to make any implication that that's the case. His word is unchanging. Since it was written, it is the truth that we have to live by. Our goals are unchanging. Our goals being we want to do the will of God, and we want to spend eternal life in heaven. Okay, so those things are all unchanging in our life, but our purpose changes. The role that we're going to fill to do God's will changes. How does it change? Well, it's different than when we were children. We were obey our parents and be good children, and most of the time we were. We certainly weren't always. Then we become adults. We're still living with our parents, but we're accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, making these decisions for ourselves. That's an important part of our life. We make my parents' church my church, and where I grew up, and they pass that along to us. Then you get married, and you have a spouse, and now you have some responsibility that you didn't have before of leading a household, and the men and women have their roles, and you establish that for what's to come. And that's the most challenging role, maybe, is that of a parent. It certainly is a challenge to raise your children, to nurture admonition of the Lord. You have a large influence on somebody now, and you want to instruct them in the ways that they should go. Then we have the empty nest occurs. Wow, we're still working and we don't have these kids and we have more money because they're not sucking it away. So we're trying to build up a retirement so we can go on to the next stage of our life. So there's more time there. We should be making changes to our lives if we don't have those responsibilities anymore. And then we hit the retirement years. When is that? Well, I kind of tapered. I think Bill's probably the extreme example of tapering off. But you know, we'll call retirement when we no longer have to work and we stop our 40-hour-a-week job and that kind of thing. So whenever that line is for you, it's that stage of life where our responsibilities to the world decrease some. So where does that leave us to talk about today? It was an ancient proverb. It says, old age, though despised, is coveted by all. And then I had a coworker that used to say, who had many, many health issues. He says, you're getting older. And he says, yeah, that beats the alternative. So he was always very positive, even though he had gone through many things. And beats the alternative is what he always kept saying. So staying positive. So a few growing old, we're going to talk about growing older do's. I'm going to go through a few growing older don'ts that I made when I was getting older. Don't be grumpy. So there's some people that get old and they get grumpy. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to me. And if I'm grumpy, you say, Alan, you're being grumpy. So I told my kids that. I told them, yeah, don't let me be grumpy. Don't stop. When you hit those later years in your life, you have a lot of abilities and a lot of things to bring to the table. This, you stop working, you don't stop. Don't become scared and reclusive. I know maybe you feel more vulnerable. I haven't experienced a lot of these things, and a lot of you people can help me along more than that. But I see a lot of people that feel very vulnerable and afraid of the world because, you know, it's a pretty mean place out there now. It seems like it's getting crazier all the time, but I'm sure it's always been a little bit crazy. Don't be so stubborn that you can't accept help. I've raised some smart kids, and you know, I'm hoping that I can take some of their advice on some things, and we'll listen. Listen to that. And do know your limitations. There's a certain time when you've got to give up softball and some of those crazy things, or won't be able to do anything else. Now, we're going to look on the positive side of maybe what we should be doing to improve our service as we get older. And we're going to cover three basic things. Retiring with God and not from God. Reaching out of the bubble. We'll talk about what the bubble is. And we want to reach outside the bubble. And we want to serve to the best of our abilities for what our abilities are at the time. So those are kind of the three categories that we're gonna cover here. Retire with God, or I call it retire to God. Because we now have some extra time, we can give more to God than we could before. And The company doesn't need you anymore. Yeah, they call you a few times right as you first leave, you know, and say, hey, how did you do this and how did you do that? But for me, my job, you had to have a clearance in order to do most of the work that I did. As soon as I handed that badge in, that automatically prevented them from calling me and me from calling them. So that was kind of a done deal then. I do get a few questions and a few calls, and it makes me feel a little bit important, but they don't need me. They're going to be along just fine. You have more free time. What are you going to do with it? One way to find out where a person's heart is to give them something extra and see what they do with it. And this is what we're given, is we're given some more time. You see what you do with it. You talked to people last night, because a lot of them are just hit their retirement years too. And, oh, I'm just so busy still. And I go, oh, yeah, what are you doing? You know, and you'd hear different stories about what they're doing and what they're doing with their time. And that tells you just automatically where their values are. So I'd like to read this to start. We're going to have a number of scriptures I'll be reading today. Psalm 71, 18 and 19. Nor David said, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? So I want to declare your strength to this generation. There's one of our first important tasks, isn't it? Clearing God's strength. So we've got the time. Let's put that to good use. I'm going to talk a little bit about the bubble. We're going to define a bubble. Sometimes we talk about the Washington, D.C. bubble. We have people here we elect that go to Washington, D.C., and then they kind of forget where they came from, it seems like. It's a world of its own. They've got legislation. There's tons of money. Tons of people trying to get them to spend it a certain way. And we're back here in Missouri going, hey, you know, you remember us. I mean, on either side of this political spectrum, not making that political, I just think that's a fact. And they end up being there their whole lives. And they're not people that work. They're not people that did a lot of the things we do. And I call that the Washington bubble. And without any term limits at all, they just stay there, it seems like, indefinitely, because we seem to keep putting them there. The teenage bubble. How about the teen years when the kids just get in their own little groups and they don't want to associate with anybody, you know, mom and dad or school? This is their world. Their world is like, you know, Twitter and whatever all they use nowadays. I don't know. I've been hit a teenager for a while. Kind of glad of that one for right now. And they just are on their own, and they don't realize the real world, what's going to happen to them, prepare them for. So hopefully as parents, you get that through this is the real world. You're going to have to get out. You're going to have to get a job. There's things happening. You've got your service to the church and all those things. So keeping them out of the teenage bubble. Then there's the Christian bubble. Well, there is a Christian bubble. Inside that bubble is not bad things. Inside that bubble is all of us. We're supporting each other. We worship together. We pray together. We help one another. But that is a bubble in itself. And we're asked, and we're going to look at some scriptures that tell us we need to be outside that bubble at times. So, signs you might be in the bubble and not getting out. And I just put three questions up here to ask yourself. Nothing magic about those, nothing like I'm finger pointing or anything, just things to think about. When was the last time you talked over a minute with someone outside the church? Maybe you do all the time. Maybe you have activities that you do outside that you meet people and do things. And that's good. When was the last time you prayed for someone outside the church? Our job is to, God's will is that all would be saved, and there's certainly people that we can pray for. Or what activities do you participate in with those outside the church? That's to get you out of the bubble, and we're going to see why you want to get out of that bubble. Breaking the bubble in the Bible. the example of the Good Samaritan, first of all. And the priest and the Levite went walking down the road. I don't need to go over that story, I doubt, for anybody here. Went down the road, and what did they do? They saw this situation here. I don't want to get involved, you know, with that. So they walked on the other side of the road, went around him, and went on. It didn't fit what they were comfortable doing. And then the priest and the Levite both did that. What did the Good Samaritan do? Saw that, was concerned with that, and did something about it. That was uncomfortable. He had to get out of the bubble that he was in. He had plans. He was going somewhere that day. Then he followed up with him, and he made a personal sacrifice and paid for it. So that's all happening. And there's no bubble there. He wasn't afraid to step out of it and is told that's who his neighbor is. So that's who our neighbor is, people that we need to help. Matthew 5:14-16 says, ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. We certainly have an obligation to help our brothers and sisters in the church, and we're told first to do that. But we can't let our light shine if there's nobody that can see it. It doesn't do any good. What other scriptures or talks about our Christian bubble that we could get into? Well, here's another kind of a scary one to me. Is Matthew, the 25th chapter, we're talking about the sheep and the goats, and we're separating the sheep and the goats. And get down to the 41st verse of that. Then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, and you gave me no food, thirsty, and you gave me no drink, stranger, and you did not take me in. So here we see a list of things that he's telling them they didn't do because you didn't do it to the least of these, so you didn't do it to me. So we have an obligation to reach out. And with the extra time that we have to make sure we don't stay in a bubble and we do something. Then we have Colossians 3:23-24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. I've heard of what I think is a good categorization of the retirement years. First off, there's the go-go years, the slow-go years, and the no-go years. So there's times when you first hit those ages, there's go-go. You have no physical limitations. You have been released of your work obligations. You have time to do everything that you could do before and more. So that's a good time of your life right there. You can just, you know, hopefully that lasts as long as you can. We know it won't. That'll end at some point. Then there's the slow-go years, where you need some help. You're going to do things slower. Maybe there's some things that you don't participate or do anymore. And you have to know when that comes. And then times when you're just barely getting around with a lot of assistance. But what I'm trying to get at on these three general categorizations is that don't put yourself in the wrong category. Don't say, hey, I'm getting older and I can't really do this or I can't really do that. That's just making excuses for something you don't want to do or for laziness. Serve while you can and do everything you can while you can. Because in every category there's ways to serve in every one of those categories. What kind of service can we do? And what did God do with some of the people that were apparently older in the Bible? Look at Noah in his life. You know, it's true that he was 500 years old, and but he lived to be 900. So maybe he was in his 60s and took him 100 years, equivalent 60s, and maybe it took him 100 years to build the ark. But he had faith, he had wisdom, leadership skills. Those were valuable to God. His faith, most importantly, obviously, because it was a pretty rough world that he was living in. Lots worse than ours, and he was out there building an ark and facing ridicule. He didn't back down. Moses was 80 years old when he was making demands to Pharaoh. So he was, you know, that was back when years were closer to normal. So he was no young one, but yet he was out there. And his faith is what his strength was there too. That faith is so important. And we can show that to the world. What about Paul? He was in prison in Rome. What did he keep doing? He didn't use that as an excuse. He wrote 4 books of the Bible. He preached to people from prison. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Let's see what some of the things that he had to say for us about this. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 18. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look to not the things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. He understood that the things that he was going through was just a small puff of time compared to the glory that was to come to him. Galatians 6:9-10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So here we're to do good to all, especially those of the household of faith, as I mentioned earlier. Don't grow weary. It would be a shame to go through your whole life and be a service to God and then drop the ball at the very end. You know, the Chiefs-Houston game, when Houston was ahead 24-0, we were on the winning side of that, came out winning. I don't remember, 2019 playoff game, maybe you don't follow football at all, but that's the biggest example of a team just running out to doing a great job and then just folded, and we ended up winning. We scored 51-7 in the next 3 quarters and just demolished them. But I mean, you can fall, you can drop away any time. You would hate to see that. Finish the race. 1 Corinthians 3:12-16. Now that I have already obtained this, or am ready, already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Press on for the prize. Keep the prize in focus. And push yourselves. Push yourselves. Don't let up. I put just a list of things we can do. And even in the no-go category, our personal study and our prayer and our worship is so important. It's so inspiring. When I look at examples of people that I've seen in the church that have gone, I'll just use Chad as a for instance. How many years he suffered through a number of things, and it took him a long time to get ready to be here. But, I mean, every day was study. Every day was, if it was the Lord's day, you get up early, and he'd do all the little tricks and stuff he had to get. You know, just goes on. It was a remark. And there's a list of people like that. There's a list of people like that. So in any stage that you're in, you can be an inspiration for everyone, and you can do things. Now, if you're more active, you can still do some interaction with others, listen to others, prayer. In all cases, you'll always be able to pray. So, to The verse that I saved for last is the is the strongest, I think, that teaches us. And you don't have to be in your retirement years to follow any of these things that I've been reading recently. You keep your eye on the prize, you keep going, you keep pressing. I'm just addressing this because I am trying to myself be cautious of letting up or not putting extra effort into my Christian walk as I go through this particular period in my life. So you can read it. This has been read at too many funerals. And I hope they can read it at mine. So, keep the faith and keep it up and don't lose track of the prize. Here's the two different pictures I started with. It's kind of funny because the first picture is just kind of a rat's nest of trees, and the second picture kind of talked about the later parts of my life is nice and clean, and the trees have been trimmed and all that kind of stuff. But that's kind of the way it should be in our minds as we're older. Shouldn't it all start to make sense? We can look at life and say, hey, look at all the traps, look at all the things that can snare you, and help people get through life. And use your wisdom and use your faith to inspire them and to lead them in the way that they should go. So we offer the gospel invitation for anybody that needs it, or you need to bring something forward to the group. We ask you to, which this time is set aside for that, and keep your eye on the goal. Keep plugging, get out of your bubble, push yourself a little bit, make yourself a little uncomfortable, because that's what God wants you to do. If there's anything the group here can do to help you on that road, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.